Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life. Hey, it's time for the 5 on 5. And thank you once again to the 5 on 5 sponsors, a wonderful Vero Beach salon called Kaleidoscope Hair. Over there you'll find formerly with the color experience, Sandra Reynoso and Callie Ruiz, and they are dedicated to giving patrons the best cuts, the most natural color, and everyone's favorite, extraordinary shampoos. Just love the sound of that. They are located in the Kmart Plaza at 1545 U.S. Highway 1 right here in lovely Vero Beach, Florida. Or you can give them a call at 772-569-3645. Kaleidoscope Hair, get a new twist on your look today. They will truly give you something to be grateful for.
In the 5 on 5 today, we're going to talk about blessings of family and friends. So different things that make you feel close or feel good or whatever. Moments. Okay? Number 5, the gift of anticipation. Waiting to see someone who's been far away. So you'll see this at an airport off-ramp, the people waiting, you know, or meeting someone halfway for lunch. We'll meet you halfway. You know, knowing that it's coming soon, that you're going to see somebody you miss. That's number 5. Number 4, a special phone ring designed for someone special. When you hear it, you know it's them calling.
Ah, yes.
Do you have one of those for anybody?
I should probably do that.
I have one for my son and for my daughter. I know it's them by how the phone rings.
And I have the perfect song in mind for my little Elizabeth. So
there you go.
You just inspired me.
There you go. Okay. Number 3, catch-up time. Life gets busy, but every once in a while we plan connection with our special ones so that we can get current. Like, I haven't seen you. We need to go out and have lunch, or we need to go have a coffee, or we need to whatever it is. And catch-up time, I call it.
Well, I like it, but I'm sorry. There's a pattern in the way I think, because on the first one where you spoke about anticipation, I'm still thinking of the ketchup commercial with
anticipation. Whatever.
Okay. When you said catch-up time, I said, whoa, really?
Okay. Number 2, reunions. Coming together on purpose and with purpose. It could be a wedding. It could be a funeral. It could be a birth, graduation. Whatever it is that brings you together with special people.
And again, something you look forward to.
Mm-hmm, you do. And the last one, the number 1, the family table. Sharing food at first and then stories well into the evening, where everybody just sits around a table and, you know, here and there somebody gets up and clears a few things, but they come back and they're laughing and they're telling stories and reminiscing and new stories, old stories, everything. The family table.
And if you don't do that, do it. It's well spent time.
It is well spent time. It's a good thing. And we're talking today about family dynamics, and just dealing with the people we love the most. Sometimes it can be difficult for us, and we're looking at different ways that it can be. When you're a kid, it's difficult, but you just beat each other up or something. You know what I mean? It's just, you just duke it out whatever it is. But as you grow into adulthood, there's times that there's annoyances and times when you just downright disagree with somebody and you want to separate from them because of that. And that's not what we teach. You know, Beth, the whole point of the work that we do is to help people find connection rather than separation. Mm-hmm. You know, we started because we're offering tools for people that have been impacted by addiction. Now, some of you are going, really? And, you know, addiction isn't just alcoholism or drug addiction. There's other addictions. Do you have somebody in your life that never looks up now that they have a cell phone? That's an addiction. You know, are there people that are workaholics that you don't get to see because they're working? You know, that affects you. That affects, addiction comes in many, many forms. And that's what we're doing. We're talking about ways to help people find their connection and to get better at it, so that when someone tries to pull away or disconnect, that you're better at it, that you have a line of defense. You have some tools so that you can say, wait a minute, I love you. I don't want you to leave.
And we're offering tools. We're offering tools for, and as it says in the opening of the show, for you to be the best you can be. You know, you may not have any power over changing somebody else, but you can rise. You can rise up to
right.
the point of connection or avoiding separation.
Right. And so we're talking about this, how to do things. You know, I think if you have somebody difficult in your family, somebody in your life that's a difficult person, it really helps them to give them a job to do. It sounds kind of crazy, but say you're going to have a holiday party, maybe a Thanksgiving dinner, and somebody that's difficult all the time, if they're just sitting in a chair, they're going to be barking orders. They're going to be, you know, they're going to be judging. They're going to be throwing their two cents in. Give them a job to do. It's amazing how that can help people. You know, think of somebody in your family. Did you have a grandma or an aunt or a, we had an aunt. We had, when I was young, we had an aunt that was a big drinker.
Mm.
And, I think it was really hard for the adults in the family because the kids were all young and there were a ton of us. Ton of my family, other family. You know, my cousins had 7 in their family. We had 10 in my family. We had one cousin's family who had one child. And we knew why. It was because Aunt Mare drank a lot. She always had, she always had a drink in her hand. You know, brown liquid with a cherry in it. I didn't know it was a Manhattan back then.
Yep.
I didn't know what it was. But I, you know, she would sit there with that. And maybe we could have given her a job to do. Maybe we could have tried to help her connect. Because she was separated. The person sitting there barking orders, whether they're, you know, not drinking or drinking, just negative, you know, negativity spewing, they're separated. And everyone longs for connection, not just the healthy ones among us. Everyone longs for connection. So what do you think about that? Give the difficult person a way to focus on something other than themselves.
I remember at an event we did that we had an individual that we gave a job to do.
We did.
And it,
we
and
did just this for that person.
And it, what a difference it made for that person.
It did. And you know, that's one of the Bethwee things. If you look at our volunteer base, some of the people are unlikely candidates. When I tell somebody things that people do for us, they're like, who does that? Really?
Mm-hmm.
And I never say anything. I don't say, I know what you're thinking. I just say, yeah, she does a great job for us. We really appreciate her. And that's kind of some of the things that we're talking. You know what a funny thing? They did a study, Lee, at a university. And they said when you ask somebody to do something, if you use the word because and you give a rationale after it, the person is more likely to want to do it. Because, I mean, they automatically comply. Hmm. Almost automatically. So if you said, like, could you mash the potatoes? Because everybody loves mashed potatoes the best. Oh, then I'm in.
Interesting.
Could you set the table because I have to stay in the kitchen?
And mash the potatoes.
mash the potatoes. And the person's like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm in.
Wow.
But it's a weird thing. So I'm throwing it out there. That was a university study. The word because, you know, give them a chance. How about this one? You know, in 12-step recovery, a lot of people really understand the word halt.
Yes.
And for halt, and for those of you that are listening that have no idea what 12-step groups would talk about, go to one of them. Go to one. You don't have to be suffering. If you know people that are suffering, there are groups for you that can help you. But halt, it's hungry, angry, lonely, and tired.
And also you add...
I always add the S, sick.
Yes.
Because when you're sick, you're not yourself either. But, you know, when people are hungry, they're irritable.
Look at the commercial. here, eat a Snickers. You're such a diva when you're
hungry.
Right. It's
that's
a great
right.
commercial.
It is a great, because, you know, it's hard. They might make a scene, and it's just because they're hungry, angry. Give them some time. Buy a little time for that person, because they need a little bit of time, because in the height of the anger, it's too much.
And we've spoken about, you know, anger coming out at unintended targets.
Right. Lonely. What does lonely do? It really shuts down the interpersonal actions, you know, me caring about how you are.
The word sullen came to mind.
Yeah. And tired.
That just covers them all.
Yeah, tired. Well, you know how it is when somebody's tired. They're less able to
connect.
roll with the punches.
Yeah.
They're
irritable.
Less, yeah, they get a little
fault
bit.
Fault finding.
Right. And you know, when I say hungry, it can even be what you're eating. I saw a group of little girls the other day, 12 girls, and it was a birthday party. Okay. And they're all having a good time. They're all like on their best behavior until they had the cake.
Oh, the sugar.
After the cake,
yeehaw!
These girls were wild. It was amazing for me to watch it and go, wow, that's what the sugar does, you know? That's what the sugar does.
What are you doing with caffeine?
Yeah. Too much caffeine can make you not a nice person. Anyway, so think about that. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Do you think it matters to your family? They're not going to tell you, oh, you're probably hungry, Uncle Tom. That's why you're being a jerk. You know? No, they're going to say, eat a Snickers? Is that what they're going to say, Lee?
There you go.
But whatever it is. We're going to take a short break. We're talking about dealing with the people we love the most. We do love them. We want to get along. We want to connect. Let's give you a few more tips when we come back. Stay tuned.
If you connect with the thoughts and words of Beth Wee Radio Hour, you should click on our website to find ideas that will help you live your best life. At BethWee.com, you'll discover Beth's weekly blog that encourages growth, a format you can fill in to create a prayer of victory to help you through a tough time, and in-depth videos teaching on 12 steps, even if you aren't battling alcoholism or addiction. Beth speaks to your personal place of brokenness so you can rise above it. All this and more at BethWee.com. Check it out today.
Back, folks.
You know, we were talking before the break about hungry, angry, lonely, tired, the halt. And you know, sometimes when you're face to face with somebody and you're having one of those issues and you're not okay, you might have to excuse yourself for a minute and say, you know what, I need to just step outside for a minute and get some fresh air. Could you give me a second? I'll be right back. And just walk away and regroup. Give yourself that opportunity to be who you want to be, not to be who you have to be because you're, you know, restless and upset.
So now you add the benefit of communication.
Absolutely. And just give yourself the opportunity to walk away. Another thing I wanted to mention is, can we fix somebody else? Can you really fix another person if they're broken? The reality is no, you can't fix another person.
But the term unsolicited advice comes to mind.
Right. But we can fix a relationship. We can fix a relationship, at least our part of it.
Yeah, our side.
And we can, sometimes if it's somebody you love deeply, you can even go and get help together and have someone else help you see the other side. Sometimes I have trouble seeing the other person's perspective. And I have to kind of get out of my normal comfort zone to be able to see it. I have to be able to step into their shoes, so to speak. But, you know, I can't fix them. I have to learn how to practice acceptance. I have to learn to be empathetic. I have to learn to love them in spite of the things I don't agree with.
Well, and you mentioned, we were speaking of 12 step, and I know in that 12 step program, in the 12 steps, there's a part that refers to, if I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me. There's something in my life that I find unacceptable.
Right. There's a woman named Dr. Janet Woiditz, and she did a lot of work for adult children of alcoholics. These are not adults that are alcoholics, but their parents. They were raised by alcoholics. And what she found is that as a group, many of them experienced trouble in relationships because they didn't get all the information they needed to have and in growing up. They didn't get the experiential lessons in how to have good relationships.
They didn't have the example.
They didn't. They weren't. The communication wasn't good. It wasn't always honest communication. There were things that they had to cover up. Sometimes they had to hide things that were happening in their home from other people. And one of the common earmarks of this kind of dysfunction is an isolative stance, where the person wants to isolate and they have difficulty with intimate relationships. I always say that intimacy is into me see. And sometimes, for some of us, we don't want people to see into us because we're not sure what they'll see, because we don't know who we are.
Or then you add that component of the negative self-talk.
Right.
And I don't want them to. If you knew who I really was, you wouldn't.
Right. Some of you listening to the sound of my voice right now are saying, you know, she might be talking to me right now. I don't know what normal is. I don't know what a normal relationship looks like. I wouldn't know normal if it, you know, came up behind me and bit me in the behind. And that's okay. Because you can come to a place where you're comfortable in your own shoes.
And normal is a perception.
Mm-hmm. You can come to a place where the uneasiness you feel with other people dissipates, where it gets less. But it will take some work. One of the things you'll have to do is to look at what role you took on as a child. You know, were you the doer? Were you the enabler or the helper? Were you the lost one? Were you always alone? You know, who were you? Were you the hero? The mascot? You know, rah, rah, rah. I'll make everybody cheer for the family, even though I don't get any support from them. Were you the scapegoat? Were you the princess? You know, these are all roles that Dr. Woiditz talks about. And so many people developed dysfunctional roles. And as adults now, they still have that role. I recently have been doing some work. You hear me talk about doing NET or EMDR, some of these things that can really help you. We've had Dr. Andrew Dobo on our show, who does EMDR in Sebastian, Florida. If you're listening in New York, Google it. Find a therapist that does EMDR. It's a wonderful therapy, and it helps you get to the bottom of some of the issues a little bit more quickly than just basic talk therapy. NET, neuro-emotional technique. We've had Angela King and Kate Hoffman on our show, both two Vero Beach people that do NET therapy.
Well, that can get you to issues you don't even know you have.
Yeah. And, well, you know you have them, but you don't know what the cause is. You don't know what causes them. So I did some NET recently, and it was an interesting thing to find out that I have this a false belief about love equaling, this is my interpretation, okay, this is not how it was said. Love equals me making it worth your while. Now that can mean a lot of different things.
Is that like a cousin of codependence?
It sort of is. And so if I think that I have to make it worth your while for you to love me, then it's hard for me to accept help from you. It's easy for me to give, but it's hard for me to receive. There's another thing that I think is tied into it. Loyalty at all cost. You know, some people don't deserve our loyalty. That's some of the hard part of this. Some of you have family members that you feel like, wow, I want to be close to them, but they might not be safe. And if they're not safe, you have to reassess. Is what you really need closeness, or is what you need a healthy perspective on what your relationship with that person should be and could be.
I like that first part you shared, because then I'm not going to be willing to show, to expose my true self to the person that I'm in the love relationship with, because, you know, I don't want them to know that I have faults.
Right. Absolutely.
Which is a denial of my humanity.
Which is totally a denial of your humanity. And how can you really be intimate with someone if you don't let them see the bad parts?
Then you're just a chameleon.
Yeah. Then you don't need a bathroom in your house, because you don't do that.
Because they're going to see those.
What does that mean?
They're going to see those 5 negative hearts.
Yeah.
It's not going to be all 50 positive.
Yeah. And that's the reality of it. So, you know, some of it you have to step back from your life and look at it objectively. You might need help with that. You might need to see a therapist or someone that can work with you with it. You might need a 12-step group. You might need a support group, like for people that are going through grief. Maybe you've lost a spouse and you're not sure who you are anymore without that spouse. Maybe you need to go to a group that meets, and there are many other people that have gone through that. And together, you find your way. But you need to start talking to others. You know, let those close to you disclose their perspective. Like, let somebody say to you, well, Beth, you're kind of a workaholic. What? Me? A workaholic?
Right now, I got to get to work. Can we talk about this later?
But, you know, that's the kind of thing. Get information. Read books about it. You know, like I said, a professional evaluation. But what you need to do is uncover and admit what's really going on with you. That's how you're going to be a better person in relationship with those you love. Know your truth. Are you an overeater? Are you an alcoholic? Are you a workaholic? Do you hide your truth? Do you not tell people what you really think? You just shut your mouth and...
A people pleaser?
Yeah, and take it. And the next thing I'd say is give it time. You know, again, another acronym, things I must earn. That's what time is. It's a process. It's not an event. Coming to know who you are in this realm is a process. It's not an event. Give it some time. Again, I'm going to ask you to find the miracle of identification. Find other people that know what it's like. It'll help you, I promise. You are not alone. Do the work. Come to the workshop we're having on the 12 steps. The 12 steps can help everyone. Go to our website if you want to check. We have some videos of me talking about the steps, and they're not about drinking. They're about the 12 steps. They're how they can help anybody.
And if you want to get involved in a dialogue, contact us at the website.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
We'll be available.
Right. You know, reject some of the roles you've been playing for a year. Reject them. Are you the family fixer and you don't want to be anymore? Then reject the role. It'll be okay. You are enough. Know that about yourself.
And know that you're worth it. You're worth the investment of the effort.
Yeah. And just start to think about your choices. You have choices. If you can't see them, you're in trouble. That means you need to do this work. But here's the deal. We all love people. We were created to be in relationships. That's where we get the most pain in our lives, is from faulty relationships. And get this, you're not alone. You're not different. You're just going through it too. We're here for you. We have some tools on our website. Go to www.bethwe.com. Look through the website. Read some of the blogs. Go through some of the victorious prayer. Go through some notes on forgiveness. Do you have somebody you can't forgive? It's holding you back, I'm telling you. Read the notes on the forgiveness and the workshops there. Listen to some old radio shows. Go there. We're there for you. We want to give you the tools you need to succeed. Dealing with the people you love, it should be a really great part of your life. And if it's not, you're not alone. We're here for you. Everything can change. Thanks for listening. Tune in with us again next Thursday. We'll have something else up our sleeves.